Good morning. Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 66, verses 1 through 12. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praises of your name. Come and see what God has done. He has awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance.
God has brought us through the fire and through the water, through the wind and the storm to places of abundance. And those places we know as God's security and God's presence with us. Would you bow with me as we pray to that presence? O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be present with us, your people, through the wind and through the storm. Through the grief and through the joy, through all that life brings to us, may we remember your goodness and faithfulness to us. On this memorial weekend, we pause now to remember those who have served and who have died, not only those who have served and died in loyalty and in service to their country, but those who have served and died in loyalty and faithfulness to you. Our own relatives, our own friends. And so now we pause in a moment of silence as we give thanks and as we remember. Let us pray silently. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Link us to both your past and to your present and to your future, that you hold in your hands, all of us together, part of your kingdom, your people, for whom we give thanks through Jesus, who teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning. Surely God's presence is here. Even if a lot of us are not, you and I are here, and aren't we glad we're not out on the busy highways going to some hot beach or some cold mountaintop? I'm glad to be right here. It's good to be here. May God bless you on this holiday weekend. Maybe you'll have time to watch the clouds float by this afternoon and get some rest and enjoy a Sabbath. We're glad you're with us. If you are a guest with us, we would especially welcome you. There are registration cards in your pew pockets right in front of you in your pew rows, if you'd fill those out and put them in the offering plate. And at the conclusion of this and all of our services is a hymn of response. And I will be at the front to receive those on behalf of the church, those who would come to profess your faith, to follow Jesus in baptism, or to join our church by statement. As God leads you, we pray you would respond. There is an ancient tradition in the church, the passing of the peace. And we're going to do that, but we do that with a greeting. If you want to just talk to someone, or if you want to hug them, or if you feel like kissing them, if it's okay with them, you can do that. It's called the kiss of peace. You might just want to nod. However you want to greet is fine. But the words of tradition are these: the peace of Christ be with you. And the response is, and also with you. Let's do that together. The peace of Christ be with you. Would you stand and greet each other for a few minutes?
Continue to stand as we sing our hymn of praise. It's number 27 in your hymn book. The words will also be on the screen. Let's sing the first and fourth verses.
Just a little representation of what we're going to do this summer. It's kind of going to be wilder than that. I mean, if you've ever been around preschool and middle-aged elementary school kids, it gets a lot wilder than that. Don't mean to scare you off, but we are looking for those that still want to volunteer. Even if you can come one night a week and you want to help us, we have something for you to do. We have snacks you can eat always. We're Baptists, so we do that thing. Here's a little yellow insert. If you know anybody that lives next door to you, your mother's cousin, sister's niece, have them fill us out. This is the registration for VBS. And if I'm not mistaken, you get a little prize for filling this out. The first 20 folks get the CD, which has all of our music on it that we learn all week. The children love the music. It's upbeat. They dance and sing. And basically, when they're dancing and singing, they're showing their praise to God. So we're teaching them at an early age how to worship and praise God. So please join us. Here are some of our wacky decorations to get the kids excited, learning that we are all unique and created in God's image. Please get your little ones to sign up. If you have an elementary age kid, give them a couple of these to take to school and get their friends to sign up with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dreama. I encourage you all to take this home with you. Give it to a neighbor. Extend the invitation to a neighbor with children or friends or even your grandchildren. And remember, the first 20 get a free CD. So take these with you. Let's stand and sing our offertory hymn. It's number 241, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Thank you.
If there are any children who haven't joined the children for the church, children's church upstairs, they may go at this time. Now is the time in which we emphasize our prayer revolution weekly emphasis. And this week it is the graduates of Elon University 2014. Now, Rob Orr was the graduate we were going to recognize, but he had a schedule that demanded he leave very early in order to catch a ferry, I understand, to get across to the island, I think to Ocracoke today. So, and those reservations have to be made, and so he regretted that, but we have a special gift for him. Are there any others who are graduates from Elon yesterday? Nobody's standing now. I know some of the younger people would like to stand up and say, I'm a graduate, but next week we will have our high school graduation recognition. But we want to remember in prayer, and let's remember all those who have graduated and will be graduating, some in this week and next. I think Elon is one of the later ones to graduate. But let us also remember, as we remember these graduates, where we are as a church and what we are called to be and to do. Light right where we are, a beacon of God's love, wherever we are planted. And we happen to be planted at a very strategic and special place. Would you join me as we pray together? Lord, we are grateful for beginnings and endings. We are grateful for the opportunity to learn and to grow. Whether we are graduates yesterday of Elon or decades ago of whatever school, we have learned through our experiences, not only in school, but in family, in church, in all of life, that you are faithful to us and that you have a will and a purpose for our lives. And so as we pray for the graduates of Elon this past weekend, this past Saturday, we also offer a prayer to all of those young people who are looking toward a future that may be uncertain with a lot of question marks, but we also look toward a future that is held in your hands. And so, O Lord, we pray not only for our graduates, but for all of us, that we might be more trusting, that we might be more filled with mercy, that we might indeed allow the very breath of God, the presence of your Spirit to fill our lives and our hearts and our attitudes. Help us, we pray, as a church planted right here to be a beacon of light, to be a church with a purpose to reach out to all of our neighbors, no matter if they are aging people who live in the neighborhood, retirees, or whether they're students just entering or students just graduating from Elon, or those in our elementary and high school. We thank you for the growing up and the growing old and ask that you guide us all and bless us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Did you recognize that hymn? Had you heard it? We don't sing it much, do we? It's the Mariner's hymn. It was sung at the funeral of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and at other events, both secular and sacred events, both state events and church events. It is a reminder of the assurance that we have, especially mariners on the sea, of God's safe and strong arms that hold us in difficult times. And so when we face our own times of difficulty, our own struggles, our own grief, our own perils, we sing that hymn to be reminded that God is beneath and holding us, undergirding us in the storms of life, preparing us for all that is ahead, both sorrows and joys, confusion and chaos. God is there. An assurance of His Spirit breathing on us. And that really is the theme of John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus is preparing His disciples for what is ahead, for His departure, and for the chaos that will reign in their lives, the questions that they will have, the uncertainty that they will know. Hear the words of Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. May God add understanding to the reading of our lesson. Thanks be to God. Today, your new pastor, Dr. Mason Smith, and Kim and Wilson and Wiley are saying goodbye. I missed his name. It's Wesley, isn't it? Wilson and Wesley. Sorry, Wesley. Okay. They're saying goodbye. And they probably have been saying goodbye since they shared the news that they would be leaving their church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, to come here. These are tough things to do, to say goodbye, and to pack up, and to come to a place where you don't know many people. But you do know one thing, the assurance that God is going with you. As we hear the words of Jesus, come now, let us leave. They're words that we all have to say from time to time. I remember Betsy and I and our family, as I was pastor of the Baptist Church, the English-speaking church in Quito, Ecuador. We had been there with them in that church about 7 years, more or less. Or actually, it was 5 years in the church. We were 8 years in Ecuador. But we were at the airport saying goodbye to come back to the United States. And it was a hard time for our children and for us. But there came a group from our church, a little indigenous church where we had been helping in the last year after we had taken another job with the mission. They came with guitars and with tambourines, and they began singing in their native language a song of despedida, or goodbye to us. And then they circled us in a prayer, and we held hands, and we said a prayer. that God's Spirit would be with us in our travels and with them as they grieved our leaving. And so with tears, but also with assurance, we said goodbye. But you know, one thing has happened since then. We had the opportunity to go back and visit that church, see a lot of those people. And the advent of internet and the Facebook has put us back in touch with some of the families that we knew back there and who are still there, and we keep up with them. And we've discovered new families along the way in the churches that we've been called to serve, just as you will be the new church family to the Smiths when they arrive in just a few weeks. And just as you will always be Betsy's family and my family as we stop off the interstate to visit you from time to time or see you from time to time at Baptist meetings of our extended family. But all of us will know, in whatever goodbyes and hellos that we say, that God is uniting us in spirit, and God is assuring us that we do not go beyond God's care and love and mercy. And so, in a sense, our goodbyes, though they have an amount of regret and sorrow about them, they also have a sense of celebration. That in the faith in Jesus Christ, as we gather around this Lord's table, we do so with generations who have gone before and with generations yet we will yet know who will come later. And we will eat again at God's table in the kingdom. And that's a great assurance. Whether we're saying goodbye to a pastor or whether we're saying goodbye at the graveside of a loved one. And so these words that I've read are words that are often used when we say those final goodbyes. There are opportunities in every goodbye, in every benediction, to learn and to grow. Actually, the word goodbye is a contraction of three words. God, well, actually four words, be with you. God be with you. To say goodbye is to say that God is going to be with us. God is with us now and will be with us in the future. In chapter 14 of this Gospel of John, this farewell address, we hear Jesus' first reference in this gospel to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't say much in Baptist Church about the Holy Spirit. We're just afraid we might be a little too Pentecostal sometimes. But the assurance of the Holy Spirit is what we have when we walk out of these waters of baptism. It is the seal of God's presence in our lives. And no matter how far we go, or whether we never go and stay right where we were born and raised, we have the assurance, as followers of Jesus Christ, that God is with us. Verse 25, I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of all that I have said. Tennyson put it this way, all experience is an arch where through gleams that untraveled world whose margin fades forever as I move. Always more to learn, always more to experience, always more to discover as God unfolds that untraveled world before us when we invoke His presence into our lives and when we realize that we're not venturing so much into the unknown as we are venturing into the adventure of God's known. What has Jesus said to His disciples? He has said something about grief. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Two promises. The promise that there will be a place for us, and we don't need to worry. I don't know what that's going to look like exactly. I know people have asked me, well, what is heaven like? And we've had books and people who have claimed to have seen heaven and know exactly what it looks like. I only know that it's prepared by God for us. And if it's prepared for God, I'm not going to worry about it, how it looks or what the accommodations are, because it is where God is. And then we have the promise that we're not going to be left alone. That when that time comes, that Jesus will be with us. I will come again to you, and I'm going to take you with me. I'm going to hold your hand, walk with you. That where I am, you're going to be there too. That's a great assurance. He said something also about keeping our commandments and being faithful in the meantime. In verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And what is the great commandment of Jesus? What is the greatest commandment of all? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your God with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another, he says, just the way that I have loved you. And how has he loved us? Through ultimate sacrifice of himself for the best of us. A life of sacrificial giving and love. He said something also to them about prayer. We have prayer here every week, and we meet for Wednesdays and Thursdays for prayer. But perhaps the most fervent and the most effective prayers are prayers that we pray when we just don't know what we're praying for or how to pray. And we pray, Lord, intercede on my behalf. And so he does that. And God's Spirit does that. And sometimes when we don't know how to pray, when we're too angry or too sorrowful or too lustful or too preoccupied or too confused, we realize also that God's church is praying for us. And the importance of prayer to us as a resource comes as a promise that Jesus makes in this farewell address. He has given words also of assurance in our loneliness and fear when we're on those waves out in the sea and we are sure that we're going to go under and we're not going to survive. He tells us, verse 18, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. These are strong promises of our faith that he's making to us, his disciples, as we read these words 2,000 years later than they were written down by the gospel writer. We are not alone in this world, nor in the world to come. The Apostle Paul knew that. He knew it so very well as he wrote to the Romans in chapter 8. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I'm convinced, said Paul, that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that we know in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're linked. We're linked together through the love of God and through the strong bonds we have as we profess Christ and follow him. And then finally, he says something very important about peace. The word is shalom in Hebrew. And he's giving them a gift. I'm going to give you a gift of peace. You don't have to be anxious and worried about all these things that are going to take place. There's going to be some problems. You know, basically he's saying they're going to put me to death. They're going to execute me on a cross. And some of you are going to be pursued and some of you may die in pursuit of your faith. But you don't have to worry. You're going to have a sense of peace. Shalom means more than a literal peace that we associate with lack of conflict. It is really a sense of well-being that we have during conflict, during insecurity and chaos, when the world is upside down. Shalom is that sense of well-being. In the words of Julian of Norwich, it is the feeling that all is well. All manner of being shall be well. It is in the words of one of my mentors, Dr. Richard Hester. He calls it God's relentless optimism. Relentless optimism. What is that? He says God is at work in our personal and collective stories to realize God's dream for us. There is with us God's persistent, compassionate presence. And this belief connects with our conviction that God is always at work to offer an alternative narrative to stories of loss and sadness. An alternative narrative. Now, the problem is we try to do that turnaround instantaneously. Oh, I've lost something. I'm grieving. Now I want another alternative. Tell me, God, give it to me. And sometimes it takes years and years to sort it out and to find it. But there are people who will walk with us along the way and trying to find those alternative stories and narratives. And the church ought to be that. To be that for its community, its members, its greater community, the students who are looking perhaps for alternative narratives to those dysfunctional families they grew up with, or those godless families that they grew up with, or those families that were too strict that they grew up with. And so our calling is not only to sort out our alternative narrative, but to have the relentless optimism that what we are about here as church and what we are doing is part of God's will and purpose for the greater community and for the world. And so we tie that into our mission to the world. Our mission to be peace to the world. The world may give peace through the promise of control. Totalitarian governments can give you some peace. They will eliminate some conflict. But that's not the peace Jesus gives us. Political victory after a war can establish some kind of peace with military control, an establishment of strong borders, but that's not the kind of peace. Jesus says, not the peace that the world gives, and what he's talking about is Pax Romana here, the peace of Rome. And Rome had known peace for about 200 years. Why? Because they conquered the world, and they'd made most of the world slaves to them. That's one kind of peace, but I'm not giving you that kind of peace, not the peace of slavery and totalitarian government and an empire. I'm giving you a peace to live in the waves of life, in the dangers and in the perils, and know that my strong arms are there and that you do have a future. We are called to be peacemakers. The call of mission is the call to be peacemakers. We want peace from the anxieties of growing old and growing sick. There's a lot of anxiety about that, about our health, about our growing old, about our resources. Are we going to outlive our retirement annuities if we're fortunate to have them? This generation graduating from Elon yesterday, their average debt is about $30,000. Am I right, Betsy? Is that what we read? And I've talked to some who've gone on to graduate school. It's not uncommon to hear a debt of $100,000 upon graduation. And those interest rates are pretty high, even if they're subsidized. And not many are. In graduate school, none are. We want peace. When our children are endangered and our grandchildren are endangered, we pray for protection. And every year at this time, I urge our congregations and I urge you to pray for protection for our students, our young people. Our high school students are going to be partying. They're going to be going to the beach. They're going to be driving. Some of them have not been taught to not drink and drive. Some college students haven't. Some adults haven't. And so let us pray for sobriety, for wisdom, for God's protection, And let us remind them. I saw a sign up here on the street just last week. Click it or tick it, you know. Just buckle up. Be careful. Be prudent. Make sure that we remind them and that we do all we can to support them and encourage them as they strike out with newfound independence. We want peace. We want peace, especially when we grieve. And it's been estimated that on any given Sunday morning as we come to worship, about 40% of the congregation will be grieving, and maybe 30% will be celebrating some happy event, and the other percentage, other 30%, just don't know how they feel. They're just there. So all of us, whether we hear the words of Jesus, "Peace I give to you, my peace I give to you," need to know that we are being held in hands of one who is competent and capable, that does not relinquish us from using our brains, that does not relinquish our will and our purpose and our determination to be God's people. But it assures us that as we are trying to do that, we are not alone. One of the many gifts of this church, and you all have many gifts, and I've been privileged to see those, is your love for children and youth and college students. That is a great resource. Claim it. Claim it. Build upon it. It's not easy. It's not easy. There's so many things that can interest them in the community. Why do they want to bother to come to Vacation Bible School or to sing in a choir? But don't give up on them. Continue to reach out with new ideas, with innovation, with love and care and concern. Tutor them. Go to them when they're hurting. Minister to them. They need the assurance of peace, of shalom. Each time we see a child participating in worship, as we will in two Sundays, they're going to lead worship, or a young person playing a handbell or singing or reading a scripture or lighting the candles, that is a shalom moment. And we, as older adults especially, ought to rejoice and give thanks. For there is a new generation springing up. It may not be as big in numbers as it was in the 50s or the 60s, but it's a new generation learning and growing in the faith, and that makes us glad. So we pass the peace of Christ, as I asked you to say those words earlier, we pass the peace of Christ in the efforts we make to assure that God is not finished with First Baptist Church of Elon or with the Church Universal. Let us not fool ourselves. We are well into a post-Christian era. I know you hate to hear those words, but it's true. We are in a post-Christian era. Church is not understood. We become odder folks, like the odder folks of Ocracoke. I'm sure Rob, if he's going to listen to this, will appreciate that message if that's where he is this morning. Our task is to take the peace of Christ in our hearts and actions wherever we go. We are to be sent out of the church to work for justice and peace with our own life stories and testimonies. God's presence and power will accompany us in that task. And in the ebbs and flows of church growth, in church decline and church growth, and I think that we can still see church growth, it will be the presence of God's Holy Spirit that will be our resource, our strength, that will instruct us. Let us not rely upon old pat answers of the past. Let us rely upon history to teach us. But let us look for new, exciting ways that God is using us. Even when we say farewell, even when we say goodbye, we are also saying hello. And what we are saying hello to is God's future for each and every one of us. Would you pray with me? Lord, Lord, help us in our unbelief. Strengthen our belief. Help us in times of sorrow and grief to embrace your peace. Help us in our celebrations and in our joys to know your shalom, the assurance that all shall be well, that all is well, as in the hands of God we live and move and have our being. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing together our closing hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," and I will be at the front to receive any who would come to profess faith, to follow Jesus in baptism, or to unite with our church. Soul as we leave from this place and God's assurance and blessing. I hope you have a good afternoon. We don't have church tonight. Maybe it'll be a chance for some of you to stay home, take a nap, go to a movie. I don't know. Whatever you do when you don't have church, I don't know. Maybe you can tell me. We're going to enjoy the afternoon and evening as well. The church office, by the way, is closed tomorrow. So, Laura, don't come, please. Stay home. Don't come. Stay there. Prepare to receive the benediction. Oh Lord, we thank you it is indeed well with our soul because you have given us the assurance of your good love and of your blessing, of eternal care throughout the ages. You have said to us, you are with us to protect us, to guide us, to be our shepherd. Go in peace, walk in love. Amen.